This is Average Advice. I'm Zar.
And I'm Tim. Average guys, average stories, average advice.
Welcome to season two, where new and exciting things are on the way.
Stay tuned and stay average.
You think we overpromised?
Nah.
Back once again, average advice, not overpromising, all that jazz. This is actually the second time we're recording this because Sam
had some technical difficulties, even though we haven't.
But we're back. Say hello to everyone, Sam.
Hi, everybody. And thank you, Tim. You're slightly kinder than Zariel.
Yeah, look.
Don't worry.
You should be used to that by now.
I was going to say, he'll cop it on Monday. We
try to go good cop, bad cop. Sometimes we switch it up. Depends who's on.
See, the more hair you have, the meaner you get. And so Tim's now the nicest guy there is. I can see you've sort of growing on the
side. I got the nice fryer tuck look. Or like, it's like 90 man's chic. Like, I feel like I'm in my 90s.
Are you having a martini?
Sunday martini?
Yes. So I listened back on some of your old podcasts and... So last week we clarified that swearing was okay, and then I had to go all the way back to Rachel's one to find a female guest. So I have a feeling that's why Zariel asked me to be on the show. He's just like, we're lacking some women on this podcast. And she was drinking, so I was like, excellent. I'm going to bring a gin martini.
So I think she brought
us
beer.
I remember that.
She did, yeah.
That's why she's up there as like our top quality guest. To be fair, Sam, you can't really bring us beer virtually, so you get a pass for that. You can just drink in front of
Thank you. That's fine.
Has it really been that long since we had a girl on?
No, I feel like we had Chloe and Estelle, and we had Jade
and Tasha too.
And we had Tasha. So both our most recent female guests, the episode
fucked up. Yeah.
Like recording fucked up. So
so annoying.
Yeah, we were like, what the hell?
So this would have been our last episode.
Two episodes ahead. So the episode we just recorded the other day is going to come out next week. So this will come out in 2 weeks. So we literally are up to date because those two.
It scares us too. I don't like being up to date. It means we have to work.
I think it's a bit better though if our guests record it, then they can hear it in like a week or two as opposed to
When people have questions about it, I won't have to be like, what the fuck was I saying? I don't remember that. That was like 7 months ago.
But thanks for coming on the show, Sam. It's good to hear that you've been listening. Some of our guests have not listened to any episodes, so it's nice. Has there been any favorite topics that we've had on that you've liked, you've enjoyed?
I like the episode with you and Yaz.
Oh, yeah.
Where she's gently rousing on you a little bit. I was like, yes, get him, Yasmin. I think Rachel's episode is definitely my favorite one that I've heard so far. I secretly think that Zariel's just using this as a ploy to get more people to listen to the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, gives them no context about what's going to happen, what questions are going to be asked. And so that way people just have to listen to make sure what's actually going to happen.
Well, it's not like I do a podcast and not want people to
listen. We kind of want, you know, some of that Joe Rogan money coming our way.
Sam, you're now our 18th listener, so that's great. You know?
The Yaz episode was really funny because the way we set it up, like, you guys were like right across the desks from me, so I felt like I was like Dr. Phil, like doing some relationship mending.
Jerry Springer or something.
I was like, what the fuck is going on here? So Sam, I know nothing about you because like I like to sort of come blind. All I know is you work with Zar, which after someone that worked with Zar, I apologize in advance.
thank you. I need that.
Mr. Handsome over here.
What the hell?
So what are you doing now? Are you still in the same position?
So yeah, I actually call back again to Rachel's episode. I think it was why it was one of my favorites is because I think there was a joint trauma there.
Oh, yeah.
Of having both worked at Services Australia before we've come over to the TGA. So I also did the call center stuff. I only got laryngitis twice doing that job.
Oh god. Call center for Services Australia would have been strange because what kind of calls would you get for Services Australia? I don't even know.
Give me my doll.
Yeah. Thought that was Centrelink.
Is Services Australia our Centrelink?
Yeah, I suppose it's a sub thing of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I originally started out in youth allowance. So imagine that conversation, but 99% of the time you have to hang up the phone because it's the parents.
Yeah.
And they answer all the ID questions for their kids. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm speaking to like 48-year-old Deborah, yeah. not 18-year-old Justin. And so by the time they've run through all the questions, you're just kind of like, and I'm certain I'm not speaking with the customer. So I have to go, yeah.
I was on youth allowance when I was a youngin. I literally got paid to go to school. It was the best thing in the world. And then I aged out of it. And I'm like, oh, I have to actually fucking, you know, do my life and be an adult. I was not okay with it.
I was telling Tim about your phone etiquette savagery.
Phone etiquette savagery.
Some of my favorite. So if Sam takes a call in the office, I'm like headphones out. I'm like, hell yeah. And if it's just like a standard call where they're like really nice and I'm like, oh, put them back in. But if it's someone that's like really either dumb or they're really angry or they keep trying to interrupt Sam, you don't interrupt Sam. She's telling you how it is and like you just deal with it, you know? It's great listening.
Let's do a mock call. Let's do a mock call. Zah, you be a belligerent guest.
Oh, no. we'll definitely get in trouble.
It's just...
My favorite go-to is big part of our jobs is we send people letters, mm-hmm. and when they call up and they want to clarify some information, and I'm like, it's all on the letter.
Yeah.
So my favorite go-to phrase is, and what part of that was unclear?
Yeah. What part of the letter was unclear? That's my favorite. So
I love like passive aggressive emails because everyone knows what you actually mean when you're writing it, like an offense email, especially if I get an email that doesn't have like to or dear or hi in front of my name. I know I'm like, oh, you want to start it like that, huh? So if it just says Tim and then it goes into the email, I'm like, oh, it's like that. And then they're like, regards. I'm like, fucking, all right.
Yeah, I know. It's just common courtesy. Like when I write an email, I'm like, good morning, X, or hello, yeah. X, or dear X.
And I always say, how are you? After, like, I was like, hey, how are you? Even though I don't
write that. I'm just like, dear X, get to the point.
Dear X.
But that's public service. Maybe it's just like, we don't have time to ask how you are. Here's the point.
Well, I actually don't care how they are. I just ask it. You know, most of the time they don't answer. So.
Yeah, but it's just so great hearing you, Sam, because as you said, we send them letters, which tells them what they have to do. And then they call up and go, what do I have to do? And you're like, did you not read the letter?
People need to be handheld.
In writing. Yeah, like, I know.
It's so crazy. When I was in recruitment, there was times where I had to go talk to like 40, 50-year-old people because they were having like issues at work and they were like arguing or something. And I'm like this 21-year-old guy. They're making triple my salary. And I have to go to them and I'm like, all right, guys, sit them down like a fucking school kid. I'm like, why do I have to manage you guys? You're like 50 years old with kids. Like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yep.
It's so weird.
No, back to that email etiquette. I think that's a lesson that I missed somewhere along the line.
It's a learned skill.
Many years ago, I used to work at a jewelry store and some of the shit the jewelers used to just send us. And I would write back to them and be like, the fuck is this? Like, I've literally had someone walk out wearing someone else's engagement ring one time.
What, like it was stolen or something? Or
no, like these two women had identical rings, but one was a slightly bigger diamond than the other. Wow,
some more money.
And this woman walked out wearing the ring. Luckily, it was the woman with the bigger ring that accidentally walked out with the smaller ring.
Oh, so she came back. Yeah.
So she came back.
Yeah.
But the new butthole that the jewelers got after that one, and the only feedback my manager gave me was, you write emails like a man.
I'm not sure if that's insulting or not. It sounds insulting.
It felt insulting. Yeah,
it sounds definitely sounds
like,
insulting.
Dear Tim, mate.
Mate.
Let's go for a beer and watch the footy.
Don't,
sports.
Don't be a fucking idiot.
And boy things. Oh, no, I'm writing like a man. Oh, no.
There was one time when I was on the service desk because, like, nothing annoyed me more when people just didn't follow your directions. You're like, I'm being so clear. I'm literally telling you how to move your mouse, where to move it to, and what to click on. I don't know how you're fucking this up. So it's so weird. And so I'll tell them, I'm like, all right, I need you to log out, and then I'll tell you when to log back in. And I'm just sort of chilling there, and I'm just doing the stuff in the background. And I just hear, like, this in the background, just, like, typing. I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, oh, I'm just logging back in. I'm like, did I tell you to log back in? They're like, oh, no. I'm like, well, don't do it then. I'm like, it's because if they logged in before I was finished, I would have had to redo the whole thing again. And then like, it takes them ages to log in and out. It's so annoying.
Sometimes people would call us up. Maybe not in this most recent role that Sam and I are in, but like in my previous role at the contact line, Like, people would call up and they'd ask me a question, and I'd be like, oh, okay, let me Google it for you.
Yeah.
Like, one time some guy was asking me about the weather in India, yeah. And I'm like, how is this relevant? Why are you calling? I've literally just Googled India weather, and I found it's 30 degrees and it's raining, and like, why are you?
I'm very guilty of this though, because like sometimes I don't do it professionally. Most of the time, I'll just try to find this shit myself. But if I'm in like a group chat with friends up here, and they'll be like, "Oh, can you? We're going to this park, or we're going to Continental Park, or whatever," and I'm like, "Where is that?" I will always ask it in the chat. I'm like, "Where is that?" And then Ashley always calls me out on it. She's like, "Fucking Google it. That's what I'm going to do anyway." And I'm like, oh, "Yeah, but you should probably already know where it is. You lived here longer than me, mate."
I do that all the time, mainly between my partner and my father-in-law, because they'll sit there and they'll debate about like something like who won the Formula One what year, and I'm like, "You have mini computers,
yes,
in your butt cheeks right now.
It's
just pull it out and look it up."
I love Google fact-checking people. They're like, "Oh, this and this." You're like, "No, that's wrong." They're like, "No, it's not." You're like,
"Well, it's sort of." I like it and hate it at the same time, because it's ruined the party debates. Because you'd have like these debates, everyone would get into it, but now as soon as someone says something, they're like, "Oh, Google says you're wrong, well, idiot."
There's a difference between if there's a debate, I feel like if it's a debate about like opinion or like something like that, does pineapple go on pizza? Well, that's a debate. Mm-hmm. Like, you can debate
no,
that.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's
no, it's
pretty
not.
Sure the answer is pretty matter. Already
that's
real.
An example. That's an example. But
you're crazy.
If someone's like, "Oh, I don't know,"
you can't even think of one.
India's in Europe. You're like, you're just factually you're incorrect, and I can prove you wrong with a map of the world.
Yeah.
That's not a debate. That's just them being a moron. Yeah, like, there's a difference between a debate and being wrong.
It's like the argument of the flat Earth theory. I'm like, there's no argument. It's already been proven that they're wrong. They're not all insane. Or anyone that thinks that the Earth is flat, I'm sorry, but you're factually insane. You're an insane person. And
Sam,
bring it. I'll fight you all.
Did I remember correctly that you lived in Sydney originally?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Originally, Western Sydney girl, actually.
Parramatta?
Not quite. No, not that much money. I'm from around Fairfield.
Oh, yeah.
I don't bother saying the actual suburb, because people just think it's a bunch of smash repairs, because that's all you see on the Horsley Drive.
To be fair, the further you go like south towards Canberra, there's a lot more smash repairs and random like business centers. You're like, how many fucking smash repairs does this city need? Like, honestly.
Yeah, so Tim's in Sydney now. He moved up. He used to live in Canberra, but Tim's there now. So
yeah, I've moved up in the world, as I say. Like, locationally.
You literally have.
Yeah, locationally. You've gone north. Up. Yeah. Moved up into north Australia. In the world. No,
I think it's one of my favorite stories is we didn't actually move to Canberra to join the public service. Like, I think that's a pretty one-off scenario.
You didn't,
yeah.
But you somehow ended up in the public service anyway.
Look, they needed people for COVID and they paid more.
Welcome to Canberra. that's how it happens, dude.
I started my life out as a scummy contractor in the public service.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, I feel like our role is actually quite interesting, as opposed to a lot of people who are just like
pencil pushers. It's crazy how many people are actually in the public service. They're like the APS. There's just like hundreds of thousands of people, and it's just it's insane.
Well, we've got people in our branch from Melbourne and Brisbane as well, like in the office up there, and so.
Well, it's everything's not connected. Just Canberra. I should it's hope the government Canberra. Is connected somehow across states. Yeah. That'd be pretty.
That's what I'm saying is it's not just Canberra. You got public servants in Brisbane and Melbourne as well, and I'm sure there's Sydney public servants, but we don't seem to have a Sydney office.
Oh, there's definitely Sydney public service. Yeah, depends what department though. Like, because I think the majority of the main bases are in Canberra, like defence, is it still jobs? What's the jobs one now? That changes every fucking 2 months,
Department
right?
Department of Employment? Is there a department?
When I was in recruitment, they were so annoyed because every single time they had a spillover or a new prime minister came in, they fucking had to change everything. They got a new name, so new letterheads, new everything. And I'm like, this would be the most annoying thing to have to deal with all the time. It would kill me. Yeah, so, Sam.
Department of Employment and Workplace Relations.
That's too long.
Sorry, continue.
Department of Jobs was fine.
Literally 2 years ago, it was Education and Employment. Yeah. So
it's so dumb. I swear it's just that department too. Everything else sort of stays the same, except when they like amalgamated everything into Services Australia and made it fucking even more gigantic, which is dumb. But anyway, we digress for all the people that don't want to talk about the public service. All right, so I have a question, Sam. What, in your opinion, something about you that is unique?
Did you get that question from chat?
No, that's a Tim original. That's a Tim original, dude.
Sam, you have to guess. Are our questions from our brains or are they chat GPT questions? So, yeah.
Okay. What makes me unique? Gosh. I've been through enough job interviews this week. My brain's just completely fried.
What can you bring to the podcast, Sam?
Get wrecked.
It's a hard question. I'll put you on the spot.
Put her on the spot.
It is a very hard question. And like the only thing my brain can think of right now is something I can't actually do. I can do this with my thumbs.
Yeah,
I can bend this all the way back.
So, if you were in a party and someone like, what's your go to story to like talk about to someone? Because I think I have four or five stories that I sort of just go on repeat, which is probably why I had to move, because everyone down there has already heard all my stories. So I was like, oh fuck, I have to go find some new people instead of getting.
I can't meet anyone else. Yeah.
Told them all my stories, dude.
Well, that's just it. Like when I'm at parties, I'm not going to say I don't typically talk to people, but I'm more busy like herding my child to actually like really socialize and enjoy a party setting 99% of the time.
I did.
So yeah, probably my go-to story is like, oh yeah, that's my child. I have a kid at 23.
I think as soon as you become a mother, all your stories are just about your child. Like that's, I mean, a good mother anyway, they should be like that, I suppose. Like,
well, either that or just inappropriate stuff that's happened at work.
I swear, when I go to parties, I sometimes speak and I don't even realize what I'm saying. I'll just figure it out halfway through the conversation and hopefully it comes out either funny and not rude, but most of the time it's funny, but a lot rude usually.
You know what I love? I love this especially more in the recent years now that I'm less shy, but like I love like going to like parties now or going to big gatherings and just obnoxiously walking up to people and just being like, hey, I'm Zah.
Yeah.
Just like just forcing a conversation upon them. And most people are chill. They're just, oh yeah. But some people are like, oh, what do I say? And I'm like, bro, it doesn't matter. I'm just coming to, and I can, you can tell when you do it a lot, who is like freaking out internally. And they're just like, you're like, it's fine. I'll just talk.
Yeah, exactly. Those guys are the ones where you're like, all right, I guess I'm going to be leading this conversation this whole time. That's fine. You just keep asking probing questions until they answer. And you're like,
I went to a party recently up in, wherever Rachel lives, bloody Gosford. And I was doing it. And then I remember Matt, Kat and Yaz came up to me and they were like, can you stop mingling? Or they were like, oh, look at you, you mingler. I'm just like, sorry for trying to have a good time.
Literally,
you know?
The point of parties is to mingle.
Yeah.
It's literally the point. So I suppose to get an interesting, unique point of view, what was sort of motherhood like at the first couple, like, you know, the first coming into it and realizing that you're about to have a child and then like the first year afterwards, I suppose. How old's your child?
He's five now.
Five.
The little runt.
The little runt.
He should not be named.
Yeah.
And at that point, I can't show my family this podcast because they'll be mad at you for calling him that.
The little runt.
He is the first grandbaby. Mm-hmm. Like he is the angel child. He can do no wrong.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah. And then everything changed.
Oh, wait, no, I wasn't the first grandbaby. I was the first child of my mom, though.
Oh.
Sorry, continue, Sam.
Not that special, sorry. Yeah. I've calmed down. look, I found out that I was pregnant with my little dude when I was 22. And that was probably the biggest thing that I struggled with was I remember one night when we finally decided, yep, we're having this baby, because trust me, at 22, that is a decision.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We are going to do this.
At 22, I could barely look after myself, let alone a child.
Trust me, I work every day with Zario. He could not right at this point in time.
That's a fucking burn right there, Zavi.
but I distinctly remember walking around, and we were living in like Braddon at the time in Canberra, which is kind of like the CBD area, and seeing, I went on a big walk and I saw all the people like lined up for nightclubs mm-hmm. and all that sort of stuff. And I distinctly remember having this moment of like mourning.
Mm.
I wasn't going to be that person anymore.
Mourning of your nightlife.
Farewell, moose heads. I'll see you never.
You literally had a grieving process of your youth and your nightlife.
The thing though.
But it's weird because I never knew about that. It wasn't until I, you know, spoken with more mums that they were like, oh yeah, that's really common.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter if you're in your 20s or in your 30s. You kind of have this moment where you're like, I'm not going to be that person anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think anytime you go through a changing, like a life-changing thing like that, anytime, you're gonna have that experience of like, oh, my whole life is now changing. I sort of look at it as like a chapter's ending and a new one starting, you know what I mean?
Speaking of which, I've got a party crasher.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, the party crasher.
Oh, hello.
Hey, buddy.
You want to say hi?
Okay. I can't say hi.
He probably heard. You heard. He heard you say, call him a little runt. So he came in and he's just like, what are you saying, mate?
He's like, you called?
It was super weird before I like came into you guys and I told you how I was finding a movie that I could put on for him to keep him distracted. Yep. I put on Lady and the Tramp.
Good movie. Mm.
And he got really shitty because he's like, it's not playing. And I'm like, oh, no, it's actually just giving you the racist warning at the start of the movie.
What's the racist warning?
So a lot of kids' Disney movies now, they have a warning at the start of the film that says, hey, this movie was made a long time ago and our views no longer align with what was presented here. So it's about the Siamese cats.
What?
In the movie.
I don't remember.
Oh, right. Was that racist? Actually has to give a disclaimer now.
What, is because they were, yeah, they like
of course
Chinese?
It was
were
racist.
They Chinese?
It's like, they were like, hing, ting, pa, ting. I can't even remember. Yeah. I just remember they sing a really like Chinese sounding song and they're like all Asian and stuff. Yeah.
That does sound familiar.
In Peter Pan.
So Peter Pan has one too because of the way they depicted the Indians.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, they get fucked up in that show.
Oh yeah, they're like smoking the
peace
pipe. They're poking the smoking mm-hmm. the, is it like, I feel like they refer, like it could be like peyote or whatever.
Well, I think, yeah, well, it's definitely.
And they're like, yeah. Oh, and they're all the kids are like getting high.
Yeah, they give it to the children. Like, looking back on it, there's so many things where you're like, that go over your head as a kid. And you go back to you're mm-hmm. like, why? I think honestly, they add things into just so parents don't get bored when they're forced to watch all these Disney kids. They're like, so you could catch them.
That's why Jungle Book, best Disney movie. There's no racism. There's no bloody whatever.
I mean, there's a lot of racism, just species versus humans. So all the animals hate humans. Wouldn't that be racism?
Not all the animals hate humans, man.
Most of them.
You've seen King Louis? King Louis wants to be a man. He wants to know how to.
King Louis wants to rule the man, dude. What are you
He wants to
about?
Learn how. No, he wants. Do you not know the song, I Want to Be Like You?
Yeah.
Tim?
But he wants to rule them. That's why he wants the fire, song. So he can rule, isn't it?
He wants to be a human.
I'm sorry to fact check you there, Zariel, but Google says Jungle Book also has a racism.
Damn it.
what for? Let's Google. I want to know what the racism is in Jungle Book. Why is...
Yeah, I actually want to know.
The Jungle Book.
So there's Aristocats?
Maybe because it's just like those like Indian tribal people at the end and they're like, oh, that's not really what they're like all the time. But it's like, you don't have to be racist for like... It doesn't have to be racist for depicting... like a tribal Indian person carrying a thing on their
head. Everyone's
just
like, too scared now because they're like, they have to make sure because you can't,
they don't
you can't leave
sued.
It, you can't leave it ambiguous anymore because they're like, we need to make sure that they don't think that we actually are racist because we don't want to get sued because people do sue them now.
I'm sorry to break it to you, Zariel, but it is literally for that King Louis song
Fuck
that you're talking about.
Yo.
For
Fuck
being,
you.
For being racist.
Yeah, because it's a stereotype of character of a utilized offensive racist stereotypes of African Americans.
Well, no, they're just saying that African Americans look like monkeys. What the fuck?
Maybe because
that's
he's
what it's for.
Maybe because he's supposed to like
But I didn't even know
sound. He's kind of sound black, and they're trying to like if he was a human, he would be a black dude because he's all like musical and like I don't know. I'm just throwing ideas out there.
That's interesting though. I mean, that's crazy.
Sorry to break your childhood, guys.
Yeah, you broke it. Do you know what also broke my childhood? I saw this thing the other day where it was like a clip of three different Disney films, and they obviously different characters, but they had the exact same animation walk and the exact same animation. It was like Jungle Book and Winnie the Pooh, where they just changed the character around, but it's the exact same animation. You're like the biggest fucking animators in the world. You couldn't just animate a new walking scene, like jumping over a log and shit.
They did that because they had to draw them all by hand.
Yeah, back then, I suppose.
And so they were just like, fuck it. Just stick a new one in there.
Yeah.
Pump them out, guys.
But I mean, if they have to draw them all by hand anyway, wouldn't they have to then redraw the exact animation that they've already done? So they're still doing the work.
So basically they take the scene and the stick figure model and they supplement the new body on it in the scene. So they can basically reuse the scene and cut and paste the new image on top.
That's genius. Right. Smarty smart right there.
I'm a big believer in work smarter, not harder.
Yeah, dude, for sure.
That is my work ethic.
When I started learning how to use the keyboard shortcuts, or I actually started learning Excel formulas the other day, and all my work, and I'm like, oh man, I can do this all in like 2 minutes now. Because there's a new ChatGPT plugin that you can just go into it and ask it like a question. You'd be like, hey, how do I do this in Excel? And it will literally give you the formula you need. And so you'll never have to learn formulas again because AI will do it for us.
Wow.
This is where the world's going.
I'm not that smart. I just have all those formulas from like TikTok videos saved in my phone. So I've just learned how to make like all the columns fit exactly what I'm writing each time by implementing that formula.
It's crazy how like most of our information now just all comes from social media. I've been really interested in how the balance of power from mainstream media now has just gone to sort of the podcasting and YouTube world, where it's pretty unregulated. But like now they just have no power anymore. That's like that's why they kept doing all these hit pieces about Joe Rogan and all that stuff during COVID, because like no one was watching their stuff. And like, why would you do a hit piece about Joe Rogan? He literally has 90 million a month in downloads. He has more fucking viewers than CNN. Like, you'll lose.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to admit, like, that's the third time Joe Rogan's been mentioned. And, like, the level of uncomfy in me is just rising.
Well, you don't like Joe Rogan?
No, can't say I'm a fan.
Why? All right, no, I'm curious. Why? What's the main reason?
In part, his attitudes, but also in part, like, he made my job harder.
Oh, yeah. I'm not surprised by that, for sure.
Yeah.
Some of the, you know, treatments for COVID he was plugging made my job significantly harder.
Know those feels.
The problem is because it's like in America, it's so easy. Like, the pharmaceutical drug market in America is insane. When compared to Australia, they have fucking drugs for everything. So I think the mindset of just like taking different drugs and stuff is so different over there. Because I agreed with you. There's a lot of things that I don't agree with Joe Rogan, but I watch his podcast for mostly the guests. I don't really care about his opinions, but he's just a good conversationalist with the guest.
He is.
Yeah.
I will give him that. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of controversial opinions that he has that I don't really agree with. But what I like that he gives everyone a shot. Like, he'll get anyone from any side to come on and he'll just have a conversation with them.
I love that he's like on the fly, like questions that he asks sometimes. Like, I was looking at an exam the other day. He was like, if you were the king of the world, what would be the first thing you did? Like, he's just like questions like that, like on the fly. And they talk about it for like 20 minutes. And it's just like,
Well, I mean, he's been doing it for so long. He'll come up. Take a while.
That sounds like a chat GPT.
Yeah, question. It probably was. Fucking Jamie in the background is just like, just say this, Joe. Just do it. All right.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
All right. Do you want to go to a bucket, Zabi?
Yeah, let's go. I got it right in front of me. You know the bucket of mysteries, Sam?
Yes.
Yes. You know, you listened. You listened in. All right. I can't open it.
Come on, Zar. You're better than this.
Ooh. Biggest. I think we've had this before, but it'd be good to bring again. Biggest pet peeves.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Sam.
Could we get some context?
So to that? For me, my biggest pet peeve is when someone tries to talk to me through the toilet door. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I do that all the time.
I fucking hate it. I hate it. Nothing you're about to tell me is so urgent that you need to tell me right now. Just wait until I'm out.
I disagree with that because I've remembered it right now and that's the most important thing to me.
Most of the time I can't even hear you. The door's... Just wait a minute.
Look, this may be a little bit of a petty one, but...
Most of them are.
I've only recently become fully licensed. in my late 20s, and I think it was in part a fault of Access Canberra that they just gave me the paperwork and I'm like, yes, signing, fully licensed. But I think my one would be people that don't indicate for the full maneuver.
Yep.
Like they put on like the little half indicator, say like, oh yeah, I'm gonna change lanes, and then they kind of think about it, and so your indicator still isn't running by the time you've actually fully merged into the lane. That shit blows my peers.
You live in Canberra. You should be like, you should be just happy they're using the indicator at all in Canberra, to be honest.
Well, that's just it. I hate driving to Sydney by myself. If me and my partner are going, I'm an absolute passenger princess. Yeah,
my mum doesn't like it either. My mum hates it.
One thing that drives, like, I could move back to Sydney, but I wouldn't drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the way the left lane just randomly fucking disappears.
You have to be really on
when you're
point.
Driving along.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Well, I'm on my motorbike. It's way better on the motorbike. It's probably more dangerous, but way better because you can avoid all traffic. Basically all the problems with Sydney is traffic. It's the traffic and then just crazy people on the road.
But can't you just train everywhere?
You can. But there's some suburbs that you can't catch a train to, but you can like catch a train and then a bus or something like that. But everywhere is accessible. That's why you just have the motorbike at the back for those places that you don't really want to catch a bus to. Like it takes me 20 minutes to get to Bondi on my motorbike. If I had to catch a bus, it would take me an hour. You know what I mean?
It says we have one person in the audience, by the way.
I'm assuming it was when Sam jumped out and then jumped back in. We'll figure it out at the end.
I agree, Sam. I think indicating, people don't know how to indicate. And like, when you're changing lanes, when I go to change, well, I do it most of the time. I'm not going to say, I probably have stuffed it up a few times, but most of the time when I'm indicating, I'll do it really early.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll put my indicator on and be like, I'm indicating. Change lanes.
Yeah.
So either slow down or speed up so I can go into the lane, but I'll indicate and wait.
Yeah.
I'll wait like 5 seconds to be like, are they letting me in or are they going to go past me and then I can get in? But I'm not going to just indicate the second I start merging, which some people do, and you're like,
that's what they do in Sydney. They think that people in Sydney think the indicator is there. That's how they like, they just get to go after they put the indicator on. I'm like, no, the indicator is to indicate that you're going to leave. What's the point of putting the indicator on if you do it immediately after that?
Yeah, I know.
You're not indicating anything.
You're giving no warning. You're just like, I'm going, man.
It's literally in the name, indicator.
Look, by no means is my driving history crystal clear. So first day I ever got my P's, I was still working at Services Australia and I had to pull into the work car park and I can't forward park.
What?
For the life of me because I can't see over the front of my car. I'm too short. So I reverse park everywhere
I've never met anyone that says they can't forward park. That's like just driving straight. What do you
maybe
mean?
Maybe you should get one of those like booster seat cushions for your driver's.
I understand now why every mum has like the big mum four-wheel drive cars. You know what it is? It's because they actually can't see over the front of their vehicle.
I don't think that's safe. You should probably fix that. You need to be able to see.
So no, the first day in the pulling into the work car park, I was so like hyper focused on like trying to find a spot that I almost ran over one of my bosses.
What?
Almost.
So he was
accidentally. Accidentally.
I'm coming for your job.
He was the brother of my boss.
Oh god.
But he was also one of the team leads, and so I accidentally almost ran him over in the car park, and they had this big culture thing at work where they're like, "What's something good that's happened today?" And he put his in the team leader chat. Sam didn't kill me in the car park.
That's always a plus.
And so by the end of the day, everyone was asking me, it's like, oh, you got your P's, congrats.
You're like, well,
don't kill Jeff.
Almost didn't have him for long.
they just put a warning over the PA system like, guys, Samantha has her P's. Please, everyone be careful in the
have you
car
guys,
park.
I know, Tim, you have. Have you ever lost your license, Sam?
I haven't had it long enough really to lose it. That was the peak thing about getting my P's during COVID is like, Do you remember that time when we had to have like letters to say that we could actually leave our house?
Oh, yeah. That was like early, like early going COVID. To work.
Yeah. So basically, I would drive to and from work. That was the only place I would drive. And I love my work from home days because it's just kind of like I don't enjoy the pressure of having to be behind the wheel of a vehicle.
Oh, man. I got COVID literally broke me. Like, I got so used to just not having to go into the office and just working from home permanently. And now, like, I'm sort of just going to the office a little bit more. I'm like, oh, man, I'm just wasting so much time, like, traveling to get to the office and stuff. It's such a waste.
It's like half an hour each way for me. So it's like,
and then
solid chunk of your day, just like, and when there's downtime, my day.
When there's downtime at work and you're sort of just sort of in between tasks or something, you're like, if I was at home, I could fill this with so much time, like so much stuff. Like I can just go put a load of washing on or something like that.
Yeah.
And your work-life balance is just way better. I understand why the businesses want people to come back into offices, but they're only doing that because they don't want to, they're spending all this money in fucking office buildings and no one's in there. But I don't know. I feel like the business is going to have to get on board with this hybrid working environment. I think it's the only good thing that came from COVID is the ability to work from home. Do you remember when COVID first happened and then everyone started freaking out because the infrastructure to work from home, they're like, oh no, it doesn't exist. And then within like a month, we had like 14 fucking apps that did it. And you're like, why haven't we been doing this the whole time? Like, they're just wasting money. I've never understood it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's pretty easy with us, like to work from home. We've just got work laptops. You just plug it in, and that you just connect to Wi-Fi, and you can access the network. Like,
yeah, it's super easy. I think it's more they don't trust their staff to deliver the same level of output than in the office. I mean, which makes sense because there are, people would abuse it all the time. But if you've already trialed it, and you're still getting the same drives done, everything's still gone, everyone still feels connected through Skype and stuff, literally there's no difference. The only difference is now I don't have to fucking deal with like some chick in the office coming up there like trying to show me her baby that she's had 2 days ago, or showing me pictures of like a holiday that I don't care about, and just wasting time, you know what I mean? Because those little office conversations are the only reason that you go into the office, really. Like, so you can just go and talk to people.
I do love like the morning coffee and rocking up to work and being like, what's going on? And you have your coffee and you have a little chat. So you're just like getting ready for the day. Like, there's some nice things about it, you know? Mm. And I love it's like anytime it's like 4 p.m. and someone's like, hey, can you do this thing? You're like, that's a tomorrow problem.
Yeah.
That's not someone I'm going to deal with in the last hour of work today, especially if it's a Friday and it's like after 2 p.m. You're like, don't give me any new tasks. It can wait till Monday. I'm not doing it now.
the worst, because I finish at 3, and sometimes they would like book meetings on at like 3:30, and I'm like,
oh, fuck. No.
So that means I either have to start late to go to the meeting or just not go to the meeting. So I hate it. I hate it. Whenever I have to work after 3, I'm like, this is the worst.
I feel like people in our office, in our teams, intentionally put all the meetings in like early to midweek, and then Friday there's never meetings.
Yeah, exactly. That's never how it's supposed meeting. To. Like early in the morning, and like Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
Yeah, it's like Monday to Wednesday. Like that's when all the meetings are. Like maybe Thursday morning, but then Friday they're like, nah, we're not doing that.
Yeah, I kind of miss coming into the office on a Friday just because it was a really good system. Yeah. Because there was almost always like a cheeky tools down at 4, everybody has, you know, a chat, a drink, talk about, decompress from their week. And I'm like, when you're working from home, you don't get to have that little...
I mean, you can do it to yourself. You can just go in and be like... It probably turns into a more of a problem at that point when you just like go into the kitchen at 4 and just have like a whiskey. You're like, oh, man, that was a hard day.
Well, no, basically because everyone's like, you know, logged off, they're all having their afternoon tea, you're the only sucker that's still on to take a phone call.
Yeah. Mm.
So, of course, someone's like, oh, I need to call now and find out what I need to do. And at which point I tell them what point of the letter was on.
Yeah. When I was working for Hayes, like it's probably the most different office environment I've ever worked at, because it was like it's all sales. It was like hardcore sales floor, basically. If you ever worked in a sales building, it's exactly like that. So there's whiteboards everywhere with just money and like how much they made that month on every team, and there's just noise because everyone's on the phone and walking around and trying to make sales. But every single Friday they would have everyone would finish at 4, and there was like 6 fridges there was a lot of fridges, like the big double door fridges. one fridge team, and then there was just giant double-decker fridge that was literally just for beer. And it like got filled up every single day to make sure that there was beer at four. And at on Fridays, everyone, you'd have just like three or four, and all of a sudden I'll just be walking home a little bit half cut, and you're like, what the hell's going on? It's classic sales.
Wait, Tim, did you work at Hayes Canberra?
I did for a little bit, yeah, but not only for a year.
Oh, you probably worked with my cousin.
Who's your cousin?
I'm going to put a name out there, but she's actually just recently left Hayes. But yes, they had a very, work hard, party hard culture.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like, it was insane, the party hard culture. Like, up in Sydney, because, like, every single Hayes does it, but it because they do it on a, they get paid their commission on a monthly base. So when they get paid, and then on the month, they also get the commission for the month too. So they had this thing called period end or end of period, right, where it's just like the end of the month, and every single place just goes, they hire out a place for like 3 hours, put a credit card behind the bar, and everyone just goes ham. And it's every single month they do that. So like when I first moved up, I was like this little 23-year-old, and I'm like in the middle of the city in like this big fucking office building in a suit. And on Friday, they're like, oh yeah, we're just going down for free beers. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about, free beers? And like, it was the greatest because I was so poor. It was like how I got my alcohol.
Pre-game.
Yeah. I'm going to get that name off you when we finish this because I'm so curious who it is now. I have this so many names in my head that are like, I'm like, there's so many, could it be? All right. I got a question, all right? Name.
Bucket of mysteries.
I think we've had this one too, but there's so many. Name your guilty pleasures. So definition of guilty pleasures is you like it, but you're also embarrassed to admit that you like it.
Look, obviously our listeners can't see my background, but this entire wall, this is my office / my crap room.
Crap room, yeah.
Where all my half-finished projects go to die. So I strongly believe that I possibly have ADHD. Just from the standpoint of, like, I'm currently looking at my box with embroidery, my flow paintings. We've got my sewing machine back here. We've got some fabric stored away from various clothing projects that I was going to make.
I never got there.
But one of my go-to things is I also make, like, a lot of baby blankets. So when my friends do eventually have babies, I make them little blankets.
Hint, hint, friends. Like hint, hint.
You've got a lot of time on your hands.
I do not. That's the problem. And so my guilty pleasure is buying up all these art supplies, like, very ambitiously being like, I'm going to do this and, you know, I'm going to be able to quit my job and just sell my stuff. And, yeah, that never actually happens. And so my partner just has to tolerate that this is my room, yeah, this is my space, don't go in it. Where I keep my shit. Yeah.
I have a new one. Like, I'm not sure if this is a guilty pleasure, but I enjoyed it at the time, but then just have like a lot of regret afterwards. Like, I've gotten a lot better with spending my money on dumb things, but I have bad impulse control when it comes to things that I really want. What I would end up doing if I want something, I would spend like 3 or 4 months like YouTubing clips, looking up things for like literally 3 months. I'll just start looking and YouTubing stuff, and eventually I'll wear myself down so much that I'll just go and make a really dumb purchase and buy it. So like recently I just got rollerblades, which I love them. I'm really happy that I bought them, but I didn't need rollerblades. I didn't need those, but I wanted an excuse to like not go on the treadmill. So I was like, I'll go right outside. But I mean, they cost a lot of money. I'm like, why did I do this?
Yeah, it's.
I was gonna say the bald dude rollerblading aesthetic.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, you wouldn't think rollerblades would be like super expensive.
The adult ones are good. Like the adult ones are actually quite expensive. Like because you need to get them bigger, but you also need them to hold more weight because you're a bigger guy. But you want to spend good money on rollerblades.
Can you? Will you tell us how much they cost?
If you guess it, I'll tell you.
Was it over
1,200?
Yeah, was it over a grand?
No.
Okay, 600.
It was probably a bit over 600 with everything because I got like
the knee pads and stuff.
I got all pads, helmet, yeah. And then my rock. So I got the normal rollerblade. I got like they're called aggressive rollerblades, right? So they're made for skate parks to do tricks and stuff. I got those just so because I was like, oh, they looked cooler than the normal street rollerblades. But then I realized that. The wheels that they have on there, you can't actually roll them not on a, like, you can't anywhere. Otherwise, you kind of ruin the wheels really fast. So
like the tiniest rock and Tim goes flying into the harbour.
And it like it fucks up the wheels. So I didn't realize that. So I did that twice. And then I took them back and I'm like, oh, I think I got the wrong thing. So then I got some new frames and the new frames cost me another $200. So yeah, it was $400 for the blades plus $200 for the new frames plus all the safety equipment. So it was a lot of money. Like it's, it definitely wasn't cheap. I enjoyed it though. It was a guilty pleasure.
No, that's, I mean, the thing with something like rollerblading is that that can be a long-term hobby.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, so that's an investment. Like you're sending $600, but those will last you for years and you can do that for years. You know, it's like buying an expensive bike. Like you can ride that for years and it's going to be good quality and last a long time, you know?
Well, that's so how I feel like that's fine. That's how I sort of sold it to myself.
Justified it. Yeah.
Cause I was like, I've been running heaps and I was just sort of getting over the treadmill. I was like, I just want like a way to, you know, exercise outside, but I don't want to run outside. So I was like, you can trick yourself by exercising if you just have fun while you're doing it. But then I'm not sure if I told you this, but when I first got them, I fucking crashed hardcore. I think I told you last episode, but I didn't, because when did you rollerblade as a kid, Sam?
No, I did not have the coordination. I was a scooter kid.
Scooter kid, all right. So when I was a kid, you just automatically think that, like, I don't remember any time of it ever being an issue. Like you just learn how to do it and you just got it straight away. Now, I started rolling down this hill and then halfway through the hill, it just dawned on me that I had no idea how to slow down or stop. And I'm like, oh, fuck, this is not going to end well. And it did not. It did not. I got attacked by a Jack Russell the other day.
Oh, man.
Bit me on the fucking leg. I wasn't expecting it to bite me. It was running off. They always run me, but when I stop, they just stop because they're like, you know, it's like a dog catching a car. They don't know what to do. Yeah,
the fun's gone.
Yeah. And then when I slowed down, he just bit me on the leg. I'm like, you little fuck. His owner was very mad at him.
The mole dog syndrome. That's what they call it.
All right. What's your guilty pleasure, Zoe? Oh, you go.
I was going to say, it sounds like Zariel's trying to justify a guilty pleasure to himself, an expensive purchase, the way he was like, you know, piping you up there, Tim.
That's fine, dude. Yeah. And he's just like, yeah, I bought a new fucking Ferrari outside.
No, I haven't bought anything super expensive for a long time. I bought my desktop computer last year, which was, I think it was about $1,800. It was a pretty decent computer. I got my housemates in IT and I was like, I want you to help me find a computer. It's got good specs and can run games and all the things I want. And he's like, this one with this decent monitor and this, it'll cost you $1,800. And I was like, you know what? I'm willing to spend that because I don't have a computer. And like, if I'm going to get a computer, I want a decent computer.
Yeah, 100%.
That's like modern and it's going to last me a while. So
you want to future-proof your computers. Like I think because mine ended up costing me like $2,000 with everything. And like it comes with everything I want. And I also didn't have to upgrade it for years. I still haven't upgraded it. It's still the same.
Yeah.
Like computer, I think everyone needs a computer in their life, a good computer.
So I think my guilty pleasures would probably be more like food. Certain like TV show. Nah, food, I don't give a fuck. I'll eat whatever I want. No one can judge me because it's whatever. But, I feel like food, it's like, it doesn't matter because like you're going to find a large volume of people that like the same food as you anyway.
Like, well, I suppose, but guilty pleasure in food is probably a different meaning where like I like something so much, but you know you shouldn't have it, like donuts or something like that.
Oh, probably for me, it'd be like jelly lollies, like jelly snakes.
Lollies, really?
Yeah. Jelly snakes, jelly babies, like the party mix, Alan's party mix. I love that shit, man. Dude. I can't get enough of that shit, but
anything with chocolate.
I have to watch it. Chocolate, yeah. Chocolate is not so much for me because I don't know, something about the chewy lollies. The chocolate is still good. Like I'll eat chocolate, but it's because it's crunchy. I like chewy more. I don't know why.
I got a controversial opinion. I think the best chocolate is like Dairy Milk normal plain chocolate. And there's so many types out there, but I think Dairy Milk is probably the best chocolate.
And you'd be wrong.
All right, go on. How am I wrong?
it gets boring as a mouth taste.
It definitely does not. You're wrong. Your taste buds are wrong.
No.
Like, are you eating it properly?
Caramel all the way.
Caramel's good. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I don't eat caramel. But Dairy Milk plain chocolate is by far the best. I'm a plain, simple human.
No, it just gets boring.
What do you get on a hot dog? When you go and get a hot dog, what do you put on it?
Depends on the mood. Mustard, tomato sauce, sometimes barbecue.
See, it's got to have mustard at least.
I literally am plain Jane all the time. It's just sausage, tomato sauce.
Tim is the most basic.
Well, to be fair,
Tim is the most basic eater of all time. If you're like, hey, Tim, let's go to Subway. He's just like, I'm just going to get meatball sub with cheese.
No. I put lettuce in some salad.
Sorry.
Put lettuce. I'll tell you my fucking thing, all right? I put lettuce, cheese, and cucumber on there. And carrot, shaved carrot too.
If you order pizza, it's like every time without fail, it's like pepperoni. Maybe a meat lovers every now and then.
If I feel like crazy. Do you know why though? Like I was such a picky eater when I was a kid that whenever I tried to something new, I would always not like it. And it would ruin because food and meals were such a big event for me. I loved eating so much. But when I would try something new and it ruined it, I didn't eat it. And then it would ruin that meal for me and I'd be depressed for the rest of the day. So every single place I would go to something where I knew I liked it. And I'm like, why would I change something that I know I like this? I know I like this already.
Sam, one time we went on a big trip to Melbourne. There was probably like 15 of us, right? And we went to Melbourne to see, I think we went to see like
Ed Sheeran?
Yeah. Or Hilltop Hoods or Ed Sheeran. We went to a concert. Anyway, we went out to dinner because it was one of our friend's birthday and we went to an Italian restaurant. And everyone was ordering pizza, pasta, and Tim decided he wanted to get steak and chips from an Italian. I was like, we're gonna go to a steakhouse? Sure. We're gonna go to an Italian restaurant. Order something fucking Italian.
I'd already been to Spaghetti Tree. So I already knew how good the pasta was, and I felt like a steak. So how about you get the fuck off my back? All right?
I'm just saying, everyone was just like, yeah. Okay.
I was gonna say, it sounds like Tim has, you know, some hyperfixations about food there.
To be fair,
perhaps needs to work through.
I don't see that's a different situation because I love pasta. I love spaghetti. I'll eat spaghetti all day, every day. But I think at that point, I don't know what we were doing that day, but I promised myself a steak like all day. All I really wanted was a steak. So I had a steak and I literally could, no one fucking let me live it down. I'm like, can I just enjoy my steak in peace? You can have your pasta.
You probably got tomato sauce with it too, hey?
I'm not fucking gross, bro. I put tomato sauce on things that tomato sauce goes on. Like chicken.
Not steak?
No. If a steak's cooked correctly, you shouldn't need tomatoes. You shouldn't need sauce at all, in my opinion. But I do for like the chips. If I have chips with it, I'll probably have tomato sauce with those chips. Yeah.
Anyway, my guilty pleasure. I don't think I have this like, I feel like most reality TV shows, I just fucking love. There's something about reality TV and like the stupidity and the drama that I just like love. There are some shows that I watch and I just go, this is just not interest me at all.
Yeah.
But like, if it's like you guys ever watch, not Jersey Shore, but the British one, Geordie Shore?
Yeah.
I remember, I watched a bit of Jersey Shore. I'm like, I could not watch it. But then I put Geordie Shore on and I was like, there is something about these British people that I just fucking like. I was just like so into it for a while there. And I was just like, what is wrong with me? This is literally trash TV.
There's a British TV show that's very similar to that called The Only Way is Essex. And it's such trash, dude. But when I used to live with Ash, she used to froth on all that reality TV show. Like she used to love the Kardashian show. And I'm like, I would literally watch Maths, any competition show that's like a drama, like a reality, like The Block. I'll get amongst The Block and shit like that. But if it's like Kim Kardashian or Kardashians or Paris Hilton, or there was this one called fucking The Bad Bitches Club or something like that she used to watch. And I'm like, this actually is eating away at my brain. Like when I watch this, I get dumber as it goes on.
my three favorites, I feel like aren't complete trash, were Survivor.
Yeah, Survivor's great though. I don't even call that reality. I call that just brilliant.
I love
brilliant.
Bondi Rescue. I don't know what it is about Bondi Rescue. It's something about, I live in Australia. I know the beach and the sun. And look at these dumb foreigners almost drowning.
I went and did the Bondi to Coogee walk the other day. And in Coogee, one of the main lifeguards at Bondi Rescue was just there, like working. And I was sitting there, I was like, oh, what? I thought you were an actor.
I know you.
You're a real lifeguard? What the fuck?
I've heard Andrew G talk about you on TV. really weird, and then my all-time favorite is Judge Judy.
Judge Judy will always be a guilty pleasure of mine. Like there were, like when I was working at...
You guys feel the Judge Judy?
Judge Judy's fucking brilliant, dude. But knowing that most of the time it's still fake, like because there's this guy that on TikTok or something where he showed that he and his friend used to go on like law shows, just sue each other on law shows so they could both get paid. And I'm like, wow, that just ruined Judge Judy for me. But still, it's great.
But some of the time it is like their cases are real. They pay out both sides. But you just like some of the times, like the justifications that people give, like, they should pay me because of this. And Judge Judy's like,
what?
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
And they're like, why didn't you pay it? I don't have a job. Well, she's like, so get a job.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you want from me? Get a fucking job. Like, for fucking hell.
It's whenever I watch those shows, you're just like, who the fuck cares so much about something so frivolous that they would go out of their way to sue something? Like if most of the stuff, because she can only pay $5,000 max.
Yeah, small.
$5,000 max. Yeah. So like, most of the time they're going over there for a couple of $100. If someone didn't pay me a couple $100, there's no way in hell I would sue them. I'd be like, all right, that money's gone, but I'm just never going to talk to you again. I don't care about that. Like, I just don't know how these people must be.
Especially if it's like a friend or a family member and then you take them to court and then
it's literally like brothers and sisters sometimes. You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
You've just made me realize that actually Judge Judy is just like, you know, hyper stylized small claims
court. Yes, yeah.
And I've never this never occurred to me.
It's so funny because you're like, imagine like Zara, you kicked my car or some shit, and after like 14 years of friendship, I decide to like not only sue you but sue you on a fucking TV show. It's so dumb, dude. Like, you'd lose out on work. You'd have to fucking go through expenses of getting along, going through and actually go under the thing just for a $200.
Well, that's just it. They actually pay people to fly out and film it as well as like the final payout claim. Like, I saw that same guy on TikTok talking about it. I was like, you know what? I'm still not mad because the juice. My favorite one is the there's one that's a paternity court.
Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, that one.
It's like, you are not the father, and then this chick starts like, yeah, she's like, what are you laughing about? Your baby doesn't have no daddy now.
Oh, you know what's another reality one that I fucking love? Shark Tank. You guys ever watched that?
Shark Tank's great. Yeah,
Shark Tank's great. So good. Have you seen that, Sam?
I love to Google the products after Shark Tank and see if like they're still a thing. I'd be like, oh, if a shark actually invested in it, I'd be like, are they, like, I've never heard of this. What is this?
I love that Mark Cuban guy, right? And like, yeah, there's been a few that it's come on. And they'd be like, yeah, so this is my product. But he's just like, this is a scam. That's a pyramid scheme. How dare you? And they're just like, no. And the other ones are like, the other like Shark Tank people are like, oh, well, wait, maybe not. Like, but he's just like, don't be idiots. Like, do you not see what's going on? This is so stupid.
There was one that came on and he was like trying to show that, like trying to read your pulse to see your mood and shit like that, and he's just like, and you know how they always give him testers, they went and gave everyone a test, and Mark's like, no, none to me, I'm good. He's like, oh, you don't like it? He's like, no, I'm allergic to scams, I'm out. Immediately.
That's some good shit, that show. Yeah,
dude.
Old school. Those are my guilty pleasures. Reality TV, you know, some of them I'm like Geordie Shore, I'm like, oh, a little bit embarrassed, but like some, like Shark Tank, Judge Judy, I love that shit.
Reality TV is hit and miss, but I mean, everyone loves some good drama, you know? That's why, like, I used to hate even the idea of maths. And like, I'm never gonna watch this shit. And then I started seeing this girl like a couple years ago, and she wanted to watch it, and I was like, I'll watch maths with you if you watch Survivor with me. And she's like, all right. And then I started watching maths, and we went like 4 episodes in. And then when she left, kept watching because I had to fucking finish the drama.
I don't even know what this show is. Maths.
Maths. Like, it's Married at First Sight.
Right. I thought you were saying maths. Like.
Yeah, sorry.
Numerals and stuff. I was like, it's a show about maths? That sounds boring.
The only season of maths I've watched all the way through, there was actually one couple that stuck it out, and they're still married, have a kid together. I can't even remember what season it was. But now that it's like descended into like one of the people on the most recent season was literally a TikToker that I've seen. I'm like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Like this is clout chasing.
Oh, all like The Bachelor. Everything's just clout chasing, man. Like there was one season of Married at First Sight where this chick like cheated on her husband with someone else in the program. And then they were going behind each other's backs for ages. Like, they're acting like they're not getting filmed for like the entire time. And then, because at the end, at the end of the week, they have like a counseling session with the people, and they go through their week, go through the footage. And then she just gets called out. She's like, yeah, I'm not actually really enjoying this marriage, so I've decided to marry that chick's husband instead. Dude, wow. The drama, bro. I was just like, oh, give me this drama. She was such a bitch, dude.
No, I still think the original season that I watched was one of the best, because like the bride from one of the weddings literally ran away after the wedding night. Like she ran out halfway through the reception, just didn't show up at the hotel.
What the fuck?
And she was just like, yeah, nah, I'm not doing this. I changed my mind. I'm a single mom. This was a dumb idea.
What? How do you get all the way to that point and realize that this was a dumb idea? Like, you think you would have learned that beforehand, like before applying for it. Dude, I reckon if anyone ever applies in our group to Survivor and gets on, it's going to bring me so much joy. So much joy. Like, if Max ever goes on, because Max is probably the first person that will actually apply. If Max gets on and he gets voted out first, oh, man, he knows he'll never live it down.
I don't think he would. Like, I don't think he would. I think he's smarter. He's too smart to get voted out first. The people that get voted out first are either completely useless or they've gone way too hard. Yeah.
It would be funny as fuck, though.
Fuck going on Survivor, man. I would hate that. Like, I would hate constantly, like, scheming, constantly being hungry, constantly being dirty, constantly not having a bed, being cold, and it's raining. Like, we don't see how long they just sit in the rain in their shelter. Like, we'll see like 5 minutes of it, but that's like 2 days straight of them sitting in rain. Like, fuck that.
So fucked up. Like, I remember there was one season, I know that we're just like digressing into Survivor, but there was one season of Survivor where they went males versus females, and it was such a bad idea. Cause like I'm not, have you ever seen any Survivor, Sam?
I can't say I've taken a lot of it in, just because I think I actually recall exactly what you're about to bring up, the males versus females.
It was
so bad,
dude.
This is bullshit.
It was really bad. Like, how confident the girls were at the beginning. They're like, yeah, it's going to go down. And then, so like they go off, they get split up, and then they have to go like find their campsite, and then they have to build their campsite up, right? So the guys go off, and the way they edit it is so cruel, but it's so funny because like the girls are like loving life, they're just getting into their camp, and then they're trying to build this shelter, and they are terrible. There's literally not any of them that have any like construction bone in their body at all, which is fine. I mean, they're all very small girls, they could barely lift a log. And then it kept intercutting to the guys one where they're just like already half built their fucking shelter and shit, and then like they literally just slept in the mud that night because they couldn't build a shelter. And I'm like, that's crazy.
Well, that might be a good time to wrap it up.
It's probably a good time to end it.
Because old mate's come back.
That's all good. He's just come running in with a bag of chips. Yeah, it's like, Mum, open.
Mom, I win. But that's an hour. That's an hour long, guys. That's bye, Sam.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining, Sam. It was fun.
Oh, wait, hold on.
That's all good, guys. The gin's hit in my leg, so really good decision.
It was a pleasure. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
This will be out in 2 weeks. We'll let you know. But we'll see everyone next week when we're doing. I don't know who our next guest is, but we've only got 4 more episodes until the end of this season.
Coming up finally.
Thanks, guys. We'll see everyone next week, and stay average.
Stay average.
Bye.